Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.2.3, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Chapter 2, Text Number 4. Nim Samavartama Bhutusnim Krishna Jesudhaya Visham Jivrena Bhakti Yogena Imagna Sadhanivrita Saha Udava Avartam for a moment Abhut became Tusnim, dead silent. Krishna Angri, the lotus feet of the Lord. Sudhaya, by the nectar. Risham, well matured. Tivrena, by very strong. Bhakti Yogena, devotional service. Nimagna, absorbed in. Sadhu, good. Nivrittaha, fully in love. Translation. And proper by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. For a moment he remained dead silent and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Prabhupada. On the inquiry by Madhura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment, but then he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. There are 8 kinds of transcendental changes in the body. Tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. Om Ajana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshunita Yena Tasna Shri Jiravena Shri Chaitanya Amaravistam Sakitam Yena Bhutale Svayanupakana Mayam Shalata Sakarantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Degrim Yakripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Yunatarinam Vancha Kalpa Trivyuscha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Bhavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Savi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Continuing with the conversation between Mahatma Vidura and Uddhava, one of Krishna's very intimate associates. And here we're focusing particularly on the quality that Uddhava is exhibiting in the presence of Vidura, in which he's showing one of the Astasattvika Bhavas, or one of the 8 characteristics of one who's in transcendental ecstasy. So these qualities, of course, are only manifested in the pure devotee of the Lord, and the further transcendental changes in the body that are explained in the nectar of devotion. So these can only appear in the pure devotee of the Lord, and in the nectar of devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami explains these ecstatic symptoms so that we're able to distinguish between real ecstasies and that which is imitation. For the nectar of devotion, there are also there's a section where And Sri Rupa Goswami explains the reflective ecstatic symptoms of those four non-devotees or pseudo-devotees, which are maybe manifested on a particular day, maybe a festival day, which is an exception. It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it happens. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that sometimes while participating in ceremonies celebrating Krishna's pastimes, or in a society of devotees, there's dancing ecstasy. Such sentiments are called blazing. So, persons without deep attachment to Krishna, without deep love for Krishna, can't actually develop the real qualities or the real ecstasies that are explained first in the pages of Nectar of Devotion. But here, Udava, of course, who started Vidura, is witnessing these ecstasies in the body of Udava, and it explains in Nectar of Devotion that the pure devotee, of course, is experiencing transcendental emotions from within, and naturally these are coming out or they're manifesting in the body of the devotee. So being stunned, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, trembling, tears, changing of bodily color, devastation, these are all symptoms of overwhelming emotion that manifest in the body of a devotee. However, the devotee is always trying to conceal these emotions, always trying to keep them within, being afraid that outsiders might misunderstand the state of their being. So Srila Prabhupada explains how, in the Nectar of Devotion, how the spiritual emotions actually produce side effects within the body. And there's an explanation of how the different life airs in the body become agitated. The earth, water, fire, air, ether within the body become agitated, and therefore different bodily symptoms become visible. So as we hear here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, different devotees, pure devotees of Krishna, become afflicted or they manifest these transcendental emotions by studying their particular body. And as Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Devotion, the reason why these transcendental symptoms are being explained is so that we're able to understand them in depth, and that we're not cheated by pseudo-devotees who may momentarily, in a shadowy semblance, manifest some symptoms of tears or shivering or perspiration, etc. So the purpose, of course, of remembrance and the purpose of hearing so much about Krishna is that we may, our consciousness and our mind may be completely attracted to the pastimes and the personality of Krishna. So there's another verse which has this line, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, which means one has to be very strong in devotional service to so that these symptoms may manifest. These symptoms of one's absorption in Krishna naturally will manifest, whether it is by the process of sadhana, or when sadhana matures into spontaneous devotional service, and later on in the stages of prema. Does anyone remember which verse has the line Tivrena Bhakti Yogena? Akama Sava Kama Moksha Kama Udari Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajita Pusham Param. So it is explained that whether one has no material desires, whether one is full of desires, or whether one desires liberation, that one should worship Krishna. Now the potency, of course, in worshipping Krishna, learning about Krishna, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, is that gradually one's consciousness becomes one's consciousness becomes cleansed, and that one becomes attracted to the personality of Krishna without any type of material interruption. So this Tirvrena Bhakti Yogana, this very strong devotional service, is a gradual evolution for the conditioned soul, which happens by later on in the Bhagavatam. In this chapter, we'll hear about the nine modes of devotional service, or the nine processes of devotional service in which Krishna Smaranam is focused on. So in this verse particularly, we're focusing on remembrance, how just by Uddhava remembering Krishna, because Krishna is on the absolute plane, the reason why pure devotees are actually very much attracted to the personality of Krishna, that Krishna is explained to be, he's Purushottama. There's an entire chapter in the Bhagavad Gita explaining Krishna is Purushottama, one by whom being worshipped, he gives liberation. And Krishna is also Nirguna, which means he is not tainted at all by any of the three modes of material nature. So Krishna is always in his original transcendental form, which is Satchidananda. And in that way, the devotees, the pure devotees, delight great satisfaction and pleasure in hearing about such a personality, because the very nature of his existence is opulent and extremely attractive. So the devotees like Uddhava and Vidura are always attracted to Krishna because they're able to notice this trait in Krishna. They're able to understand the supreme potency of Krishna's transcendental form and pastimes. This comes as a result of their very strong devotional service, very strong, whether it's sadhana or gradually sadhana bhakti maturing to raganuga bhakti. So in these processes, this nine modes of devotional service, which begins with shravanam and kirtanam, a devotee or any conditioned soul is allowed to enter into the transcendental topics of Krishna, and gradually their consciousness becomes cleansed and their natural affinity to become attracted to Krishna grows and it burns like fire. So naturally, as we hear more and more about Krishna, our attraction for Krishna and anything related to Krishna will also grow. So by regular hearing of the glories and pastimes of the Lord, the impurities in our heart becomes purified and we become fixed in our devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada has designed and has given us understanding of these nine processes of devotional service, or the nine modes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting in the entire morning program. And by this regular hearing and chanting of Krishna's glories and his pastimes, the purification within the heart, the purification of our consciousness starts happening. So this is only the beginning phase of devotional service. We follow the rules and regulations given by the acharyas in the books that Srila Prabhupada has translated. So we can understand that Uddhava has already reached a very elevated platform of love for Krishna, that just by remembering Krishna's pastime, that he starts exhibiting one of the transcendental bodily symptoms of one who has attained love of God. Now, Krishna, of course, is explained as being absolute. So remembrance of him is none different than being in his personal association. This is what Uddhava is experiencing. So aesthetic body changes are manifestations from the spiritual plane, and they're not artificial expressions that are developed by practice. This is a very important point Prabhupada makes in this entire chapter on remembrance of Krishna, that it is not that we practice manifesting these bodily changes. They come naturally after one has matured in their practice of sadhana bhakti. So in the nectar of devotion, in the basic phrase here, that in the beginning, the conditioned soul comes into the process of bhakti and practices the sadhana, bhakti rules and regulations. And over time, as this practice intensifies, as this devotional service becomes strong and one becomes fixed, then naturally the developmental stage will be that one becomes even more attractive and firmly fixed as a servant of Krishna, and one becomes more spontaneous in their devotional service. This is a natural progression of into Raganuga Bhakti. So it is not that we independently practice manifesting these transcendental these transcendental symptoms of ecstasy within the body. They will happen by Krishna's mercy when the time is right, when we have been properly purified. So even right up to the point of anatta nivritti, purification of the heart is happening. Even at the point of bhava, there's still some impurities or residues of some anartas. Then gradually, as one's devotional service becomes condensed and when one's faith is firmly fixed, then these impurities also disappear. Then one is really situated on the platform of Krishna Prem. So these qualities naturally manifest after one has shown great focus, determination, and purity in the application of sadhana bhakti. So one's service attitude has to mature over time. Prabhupada in the previous purport explains how Uddhava's service attitude had matured a lot. Now I was thinking, generally in the material world, something is considered very important or very valuable when it has matured over time. For example, in hospitality, they serve wine a lot, or any type of alcohol. And a bottle of alcohol or wine is most expensive when it's very old. It says the wine is matured, the whiskey is matured, it's been in a box and in a bottle, or they've been fermenting it for 50 years. And whether it's a connoisseur or whether it's whatever it may be, it's sold for a lot of money because they place value in that. So when I was reading that Uddhava's devotional service had matured all the time, I could understand there was a lot of potency and there was a lot of value in his devotional service because it had been very steady. He had been very fixed and focused on hearing the glories and transcendental pastimes of Krishna. So naturally, over time, he became very fixed in his hearing and chanting. That even just by remembering Krishna, he goes into transcendental ecstasy. This is the position of Uddhava. So in the Bhagavatam, it's also given different personalities attain perfection by following just one of these processes. So we can all maybe try to remember them together. From the very obvious one, from Shravanam and Kirtanam, who attained perfection? From speaking about Krishna? Sigara Goswami. And who attained perfection by Kirtanam? Yeah, this is what I can't hear. Okay, from speaking Kirtanam, it was Sukadev Goswami. Yes, no? Vishnu Smaranam, who attained perfection from that? In the seventh canto? Prahlad Maharaj. So that's also quite powerful. Prahlad Maharaj is put in so many difficult situations, but even no external material situation could obstruct or come in the way of his remembrance of Lord Vishnu. Even at such a young age, just being thrown under the feet of elephants, being thrown from cliffs, being thrown into the pit of snakes, being poisoned, being ridiculed by your father, still he was always remembering Vishnu. So we can see the potency of just remembrance, even for someone, a young devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, and who attained perfection from Parasevanam. Lakshmi Devi is always situated at the lotus feet of the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Archanam, by worshipping the Lord. Prithu Maharaj, not only was he a great worshipper of the Lord, but he was also a great ruler. He was a Rajarishi, very, very powerful personality, empowered personality. Vandanam, Akrura. There's the wonderful pastimes of Akrura in the Krishna book where Srila Prabhupada is explaining the different prayers that Akrura was offering to Krishna and Balaram. Sakyam? Arjuna. So Krishna became Parthasarathi for his great friend Arjuna. And so just by being close to Krishna, there's so much of a sweetness in the relationship and reciprocation between Krishna and Arjuna. So even after Arjuna could see the universal form, he understood Krishna's majesty, he saw the Narayan form, still he just wanted Krishna in his original form. That was the best way he'd ever related to Krishna. He saw Krishna as his friend, he saw Krishna as his protector, and still he accepted him as his spiritual master. And who surrendered everything to Krishna, Atmanivedanam, Bali Maharaj. Even though he was cheated, even though Vamanadev used great intelligence in offering benedictions and mercy, because Bali Maharaj, of course, had some link or tie to a great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada also makes this point that just, especially because Bali Maharaj was coming from the same family as Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord wanted to show mercy. This is the potency of having a connection to the pure devotee of the Lord, that the Lord exhibits his mercy on us. And we can see that in our contribution to Srila Prabhupada's mission. We can see that in our efforts to try to please the spiritual master, that the Lord also blesses us, because he can see that we're trying to please and trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Krishna eventually bestows mercy upon the living entity. So we never directly try to access Krishna. We always approach Krishna from the lotus feet of his dear servants and devotees. Even at the topmost level, whether one is on the Raganuga platform or one is a Ragatmika Bhakta, following the footsteps of the denizens of Vrindavan, still to approach Krishna, they go through one who is closer to Krishna. So even on that platform, they might not call them a spiritual master, but they have a leader. They have the principal gopis, they have Grandmother Purnamasi, they have Rinda Devi, they have so many personalities who engage them in serving the Lord. So even on the topmost realms of pure devotional service, this etiquette is still intact. So even Lord Kapila Dev explains this to his mother Devahuti later on in the 29th chapter. He explains how one should execute devotional service, and he explains what type of persons can always be engaged in Krishna service. He explains that the devotees are avicchina, or when the living entity is avicchina, which means that he is not interrupted by any material situation, that he's always, under any circumstance, attracted to hearing Krishna's pastimes. There is no material condition that can actually stop the flow of devotional service. Nothing can stop the flow of the Ganges River into the sea. So naturally, when one is fixed in devotional service, nothing can stop their flow of bhakti towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this affinity towards Lord Krishna develops as we hear constantly and with rapt attention. And naturally our consciousness becomes cleansed and our natural constitutional position sprouts or it starts burning. So as we hear gradually and constantly about the pastimes of Krishna, we developed our finer qualities, we developed our attraction for Krishna, and we awaken our dormant love for him. So in that way, it is very important to take these steps of sadhana bhakti, which begin with Shravanam and Kirtanam. It is very, very important and pivotal for us to continue firmly on the platform of sadhana bhakti, and that sadhana bhakti is not an inferior stage. It is actually a very elevated stage, because even within sadhana bhakti, Krishna gives so much mercy. Even on the platform of sadhana bhakti, one's faith can develop to a point, even if one is not that knowledgeable in Shastra, but one has firm faith that only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if someone comes with a strong argument proposing impersonalism or atheism, etc., still that is not enough, because the devotee, by their practice of sadhana bhakti, Krishna from within the heart has revealed a certain understanding that yes, you're my servant, I'm your master, and we're eternally linked. So the process of sadhana bhakti itself is an elevated platform to be in. So we shouldn't think that it is an inferior process to follow. There have been devotees who attain perfection by following sadhana. The Nectar of Devotion gives the example of Narada Muni, that by following sadhana in previous lives, by serving devotees, by hearing from them, he perfected his life from sadhana. So the process of sadhana bhakti is what will lead us naturally and gradually to the point of having natural affinity for the Lord. It is not anything, as Prabhupada said, it is not anything that we have to practice independently. It will naturally come, provided we stick to the process that has been given by Srila Prabhupada. So later on also, just one more point, Prabhupada explains the different stages of development in devotional service. How the first stage is, of course, following the rules and regulation of the prescribed codes of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. That is the first stage of reawakening our devotional service, and following that is realization and assimilation of what we have actually grasped and taken from the process of sadhana bhakti. So realization, of course, is different from understanding. Understanding means we read, we understand the facts, but there's not much application. For something to actually become realized, we have to live it, we have to apply it. And when this has matured over time, and when this has become a part of our being, when devotional service is actually our life, naturally we'll get realization of the self, we'll get realization about Krishna and our connection to him. And gradually over time, this will mature, and this will become even stronger to the point where we start exhibiting ecstatic symptoms in the body. And of course, the pure devotee tries to conceal these ecstatic symptoms. They are manifested not only externally but also internally. So the pure devotees try to internalize everything, not to externally show their natural disposition towards the Lord. However, sometimes that does happen. So these ecstasies that come about as a result of Vidura's, as a result of Uddhava's being fixed in devotional service, or Uddhava's strength in devotional service, it has been a natural growth. Of course, Uddhava is eternally an intimate associate of the Lord. He's always in the Lord's pastimes, etc. But for us, the message comes about that the more we focus, the more we build and strengthen our devotional service by following proper sadhana, the closer we'll get to attaining the perfectional stage of reawakening our pure or dormant love for Krishna. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Sometimes I hear from devotees that when they first saw the deities or when they were kirtaning, tears flowed just coming for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So is there an explanation for this?
Yeah, Nectar of Devotion explains that sometimes, it explains it in different categories, that we have, even when we're still not devotees yet or we're just coming for the first time, we come for a festival or just a morning program, kirtan, there are some symptoms, Prabhupada calls, it's called abhas. They're reflections of the real thing. Krishna gives us a taste. So whether it's during kirtan or honoring prasadam or being in the association of devotees, sometimes we experience some form of ecstasy. Srila Rupa Goswami writes about it under the title Intensity of Ecstatic Symptoms in Non-Devotees. And Prabhupada's in the purport, he's explaining that sometimes there's minimal ecstasy that is shown by even a non-devotee because he's in the presence of devotees during a kirtan or during a festival day. And therefore we get given, or Krishna gives us a taste of some type of ecstasy. But that is, of course, only a shadow. It's not a permanent fixture. So that is explained in the third wave of the Nectar of Devotion. There's a contrast that's being made between real ecstatic symptoms and the shadow semblance, which just can be shown by the non-devotees at an early stage. What does nishta mean? Nishta means that one is fixed, right? One has developed great, vast amount of taste for devotional service. The intensity and the depth of devotional service comes out in the devotee's service attitude. So when one's when one's taste has increased and when one is fixed in their devotional service, of course that is a barometer. But at the same time, as Nectar of Devotion mentions, even at this stage of bhava, there's still some traces of anatta nivritti. Anatta nivritti, of course, is a stage where we're removing unwanted things from the heart. So this can take a very, very long time. But we can judge by looking at the level or the intensity of our taste for chanting the holy name, our service attitude, and our attraction to hearing about Krishna. If we study the life of the very, very advanced souls, if we study the life even of Srila Prabhupada, we see the amount of taste for hearing and chanting, the amount of faith in the holy name and their service attitude, we can understand that they've actually gone beyond the point of struggling with the unwanted things in the heart, that they've gone beyond physical, they've gone beyond their physical restraints. They're accessing or they're functioning on a higher level of Krishna consciousness. Is that all right?
Maturing in service means what?
Yes, perfect. What was your question?
Maturing in service. Is it maturing in devotion? Maturing in service means what?
Maturing
in service.
In service, what does that mean? Maturing in devotional service, it means that we have come to a deeper understanding of our constitutional position as servants of Krishna. It means we're steadfast in our application of bhakti. Steadfast means we're steady amidst whatever might happen materially. That we understand that Krishna is not there to fix our material problems. Krishna is not there to reward us spiritually. We are servants of Krishna and our devotional service continues through thick and thin. As Lord Chaitanya says, birth after birth, lifetime after lifetime, I will become your, I want to be your servant. Mama janmani janmishvari bhavatar bhakti ahai tuki twayi. That birth after birth, lifetime after lifetime, I'm willing to become your service. I mean, you're willing to become your servant. And different acharyas have commented on that verse. I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who explains that. To take it further, it can also mean that in one body after another, whether it's a human body, whether it's an animal species, I'm your servant. So to that depth, to that level of understanding, that level of maturity, that in any circumstance, I'm Krishna's devotee. So in the case of Uddhava, Srila Prabhupada explains that his service attitude was so great that he understood that in any circumstance, he should always be in pure Krishna consciousness. Even just by remembering Krishna, that natural Krishna consciousness in him will arise. So his maturity in bhakti means that he was steady, means that he understood his connection with Krishna at all times under any circumstance. And that's the level that we aspire to be in. To become mature in bhakti means we understand under any circumstance, I'm always Krishna's servant, first and foremost. Whether I'm a brahmachari, whether I'm a grihastha, whether I'm a vanaprastha or sannyasi, whether I'm in a male body or a female body, whether I'm whatever it might be, that we understand that I'm Krishna's servant. So we not only have to understand this point, but it's something that we also have to realize as we practically perform devotional service. So we have to put it into practice. Not that when something happens, we are always forgetting Krishna, but we remember Krishna when we want something. We should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And by practically putting that into application, seeing Shastra in our day-to-day activities in Bhakti Shastri, one of the aims or principles is Shastra Chakshush, which means that from what we read, what we hear, we see it around us, we understand it, we put it into application. One last question or comment? Maybe I'll go for him because he hasn't asked a question.
Thank you. What does it happen when a person starts the bhakti process in the evening? He goes with full enthusiasm, energy, and when the time passes like 2-3 years, then this enthusiasm goes down. And did you see in the early times of Prabhupada, these early disciples,
his question is, why is it that in the beginning when we practice Krishna consciousness, we're so enthusiastic, we're energetic, then over time that dwindles away, right? It goes down. And we see with some of Prabhupada's disciples, you're saying in the early years they were also very enthusiastic, but they have kept the enthusiasm. Is that what you're saying? Okay, so, yeah. Naturally what happens when we join Krishna consciousness or in the beginning, we become overwhelmed with this ethereal feeling, this extraordinary wave of transcendental energy hits us and everything is just amazing. You know, everything is jaya prabhu, everything is like nectar, bliss, jaya. That's all we ever say in the beginning. Right, everyone is pure. Everyone is, of course, everyone is pure. But we see everyone as faultless. It's just everything is perfect. But over time, when we're not careful, our frailties seem to rise. We start seeing faults. We start being inattentive. We become, what's that in English saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. We become very familiar. Oh yeah, I was in the temple room this morning. I don't need to go tonight. Oh yeah, I went to Bhagavatam class 2 days ago. It's okay. Oh yeah, so and so Swami is coming to speak. I've heard him before. I've read Krishna book before. So we become very, very familiar. That's the problem. So everything, after some time, things become mundane. We start thinking sweeping the temple room is mundane. We become really familiar. We start thinking coming for a festival or coming for a class, it's fine, I'll listen to it later. We're going to have to sit down. Things become a bit mundane because we become too familiar with the process. But if we keep ourselves very, very attentive, if we read attentively and we understand that we shouldn't really become familiar, we shouldn't be lackadaisical and mechanical in devotional service, should understand every day is a fresh and new day to experience Krishna differently. So that enthusiasm doesn't have to die. It doesn't have to trickle down. It can always be kept alive if we keep ourselves connected with the lives and the teachings of the pure devotee. That's why when we take shelter of Prabhupada's books, we get that sense of I have to do something for Krishna. I have to be Krishna conscious. We don't become familiar with the process. It's when we become familiar with the process that our enthusiasm goes down. We start committing offenses here or there. We start taking devotee sangha for granted. And naturally we might become a bit proud. We might think, I've been around for 2 years. I'm more senior. So naturally these unwanted things may sprout and they make things a bit mundane. So that is why our enthusiasm can go down. When Prabhupada was on the planet, however, if we listen to Prabhupada's memories, we understand that Prabhupada had a lot of shakti and had a lot of enthusiasm that he was injecting in the devotees. Devotees could do so many things because they felt this Prabhupada Shakti being transferred to them. Prabhupada empowered them like anything. So they were able to jump on a train, go to another country and open up temples. They were able to build Rath carts and hold Rath Yatras and be temple presidents and treasurers after 2 days of chanting Hare Krishna. Right. So Prabhupada used to tell them, this is emergency time, it is war. We have to go towards an emergency. Whoever comes, I'm going to put them there. Prabhupada gave those persons the courage and the enthusiasm and the shakti to actually go through with it. That's a special mercy of Prabhupada. And that is still also very much available. If we connect with Prabhupada through his books, we can still have that same zeal, that same enthusiasm. But we have to connect with Srila Prabhupada. I'll stop here. Gone over time. We can talk. Rantarachima Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Oh, recommended.